What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today in the book of Ezra, we're going to study the end of his little book, and we're going to see the effects of sin that start to enter this new reestablished nation of Judah. So in Ezra 9 and 10, we see one big problem confronts the people, and it's really a problem of their own doing, and it's this: that people, when they came back into the land in that 80-year time period between the beginning of Ezra's time coming back to the land and Zerubbabel's lead, we've got 80 years of time. And in that 80 years, we see a lot of people do a lot of sinful things. And the biggest thing is some of the men intermarry, which means they marry wives that come from these foreign lands. And remember, just think this through. Why are the people returning from exile? Well, because they went into exile. Why did they go into exile? Well, because they didn't obey God. Well, how did they not obey God? Well, one of the things that they did to not obey God to get them kicked out of the land in the first place was disregarding God's law. And in God's law, it's very clear that if you're going to get married, you need to marry someone with the same faith as you. You need to marry somebody who believes what you believe about God. Deuteronomy is very clear about that. Even Leviticus is clear about that, that you need to marry within this nation. Obviously, doesn't mean you're just marrying people that are close relatives to you. It was a big nation at the time, especially I think of in the book of Deuteronomy. We had over 1 million people in this nation. You were called to pick someone that's in this nation to get married to. Just please, please, please don't get married outside of this nation. Don't get married to someone who doesn't believe in God, right? And we're not even talking about people like Ruth and Rahab who did believe in God. We're talking about these foreign wives that these people take that get them to turn their hearts away from God. And even we see that with Solomon. Remember him? Remember how he married foreign wives and his heart was turned after those other foreign gods because of these women? Well, the reality is for these people, they had engaged in those same sins. And now Ezra has to come on the scene and deal with it. And what we see in chapter 9, very, very, very famous prayer of his. And what I want you to notice, this starts in verse 6, it goes all the way to the end of the chapter, and verse 15, so like 12 verses here, we see that Ezra prays saying things like, God, our iniquities have risen higher than our heads. From the day of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt. For our iniquity, we and our kings, our priests. He talks about us and we and our. All these pronouns talking about a collective group of people, he says that our nation has been guilty of this. So what Ezra does here is he intercedes. It's a prayer of intercession. He's praying on behalf of the people, right? Did Ezra marry a foreign wife? No. Right? But instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm not guilty of this, like this is your problem, not my problem, he says this is our problem as a community because we have done this sinful thing. We are going to go to God and I'm going to go to God on behalf of us. It's a prayer of intercession that Ezra prays here. So it's unique. It's not like all the other prayers. It's like some of the prayers that Moses prays. Actually, this prayer reflects a little bit some of the prayers that Moses prays in the book of Exodus in particular, that he intercedes for the people of Israel. So you see that here. Also, the book of Daniel, we see intercessory prayer where Daniel prays on behalf of the people. But here in Ezra chapter 9, he asks for forgiveness, but also he praise in another sense of repentance. And that's what happens in chapter 10. The people have to repent of this sin. They confess their sin and they agree. And because of this, there are these forced divorces here, which again, as we read the Old Testament, not everything that is descriptive is prescriptive. Okay, what that means is not everything we read described here means that everyone should go out and do this. So the application for us is not if you're a married person, right? And I know you're probably in junior high, so you're not married. But if you're watching this, you're not in junior high, and you are married to someone who does not believe in God like you do, the application is not let's go divorce them. That is not the application, because it's very clear in the New Testament. Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians that if your spouse who's not a Christian, who doesn't follow God, is willing to stay with you, you don't have grounds to divorce them just because they believe a different thing about God. You need to stay with them, right? But what happened here is unique because as they came back into the land, they could not have this. They needed to be pure as a community. They needed to be pure as they started this, basically started over as a nation in the land. They needed to be doing what God said exactly right. So because of this, bad sin there's horrible consequences. And that's the big lesson to learn here, is not to do exactly what they did, but to avoid it altogether. Avoid sin altogether that leads to these big consequences. The reality is that every sin has consequences, everything, whether it's small or big. But something you should know is big sins have major consequences. And even sometimes, if you're forgiven of those sins before God and God does not count those sins against you, the reality is that you might have to live with the consequences of your sins. And that goes for you, however old you are, whatever grade you're in, so to speak. If you sin before God, sometimes the consequences of those sin will go far beyond your forgiveness. Okay, what that means is you can be forgiven by God, but God might still say you need to deal with the consequences of that sin. That can happen. So don't just think, as many people presume, just like Romans 6 says, if God's grace abounds, should we just keep on sinning all the more? Paul said, by no means, right? And that's the same thing here. Ezra would say that to you. If you asked, hey, could I sin a little bit because I know that God will forgive me? Ezra would say, no, don't do it, because I had to deal with the situation. He probably wouldn't say in Ezra chapter 10, but I had to deal with the situation where people were intermarrying that caused tons of heartbreak, tons of horrible things because of their sin. So please don't do those sinful things. And for you, whatever that is, don't engage in those sinful things, because the consequences are a lot bigger than you think they are. So that's our reading here in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're starting a brand new book. Starting the book of Acts, okay? The Acts of the Apostles. You might have wondered, is it spelled Acts like A-X-E-S? Sorry, I'm bad at spelling. Acts like a axe that you knock trees over with? No, that's not the axe. It's the Acts of the Apostles, A-C-T-S. The things that the apostles did is another way of putting this. So this book is actually the biggest book that we have in the New Testament. This one and the Gospel of Luke are huge, and they're both written by Luke. Really, this is part two of Luke's gospel. And what we see here is in chapter one, God calls these disciples to be witnesses of Jesus. Jesus in particular said about himself, says, you guys, disciples, you need to go out and be witnesses for me, right? What do witnesses do? Witnesses see something and say something. Okay, their job was, they saw what Jesus did, they heard what he said, now they need to go say something about it. They need to tell others about it. So that's what they're going to do. And the whole book really is a progression. And in verse 8, we get this cool sequence of things, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so that is going to serve to be how the book of Acts moves from section to section. We start out in Jerusalem, we move to Judea, we go to Samaria, and then we go to the ends of the earth. And that's really what we read towards the second half of this book. So God is going to fulfill this, that they are going to go and be his witnesses. And the question for you is, are you going to be a witness of Jesus? And you might say, well, witnesses, you said earlier, they have to see something and then say something. I haven't seen Jesus, so I don't have to say anything about Jesus. Well, I don't think that really is a good excuse for us, because of all the things that we've been reading, we know tons about what Jesus did. We need to be witnesses to share. And that's one of the things, is we don't just say, I know something about Jesus. We say, this book says something about Jesus. That's why this is at the source of our authority, especially when we share the truth about Jesus with other people. So let's make sure we're bold to do that, and also bold to step up and use God's word as we talk to other people. Really, because our job is to share the truth that's in here. We're not making something up. We're not saying this is some brand new invention. We're saying this is what God says, and we all need to listen, whether that's people out there or yourself. We all need to listen to God's word. So that's encouraging, and hopefully that encourages you today to share God's word with other people. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.